I used to say it's like starting junior high all over again because the EMS is so tight knit. It's hard to feel like you fit in. And because it's our nature to look for what's wrong, we go into a house and we don't say, so what's going good? What feels good today? We go in, what's wrong? What else is wrong?
Hi, this is Lori Thiel. I am the Michigan chapter of Women in Emergency Services, and I am filling in for our podcast host, Andrea Boss, who is currently on a mission with a new position in EMS. So I told her I would fill in for her. So welcome to our podcast today. My guest is a 38, and couldn't emphasize that enough. She is a 38-year, we'll say, quote-unquote, veteran in the EMS industry as a paramedic. And Brooke, I think you were a critical care paramedic, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that. Our topic today, our headline, we'll call it, is called Grieving EMS. And we'll let you know a little bit more about why this headline resonated with Brooke in a few minutes. But let's start off just kind of getting to know each other and how did we meet? So Brooke, you were my first encounter in EMS management back in 1997. I remember walking into MedStar and you and Tracy Lecluse had me in the back of an ambulance. And I don't know why I remember this. Were you guys critical care paramedics at that point?
Yes.
You were, right? So in 1997, you guys were critical care paramedics. And I remember you guys talking to me in the back of the ambulance and you were like, explaining everything. And I'm like, wow, I'm in the back of an ambulance. And I had a respiratory care, a little bit of background in respiratory. And so we were talking about that, I remember. And so you two were both so very welcoming. And my journey with you, Brooke, has gone over this 38 years. So as long as you maintain that paramedic license, is as long as we stayed in touch, you've had a very robust career. And I've worked with you at Alliance Mobile Health as well. And we've stayed in touch. So I just want to tell you how much I value your relationship and look forward to talking to you a little bit more.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So you've worked for 38 years in the industry. Tell us a little bit about some of the positions that you've held.
I started out as an EMT, a fire department, and eventually over the years became the EMS captain for the fire department. And my first full-time job was in Macomb County in Mount Clemens with Ruley's, which is now MedStar.
Yeah.
I think you were MedStar, right?
I was MedStar, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was as a paramedic. Back then, I was the only full-time paramedic female. We had a couple part-time. There weren't very many women.
So you were the only female paramedic at Ruley's Ambulance. And roughly how many employees did you have at that time? Do you remember?
No.
20, 30, 40?
Yeah, probably 30.
Okay.
For other female paramedics, but they were only part-time. They had other full-time jobs. Yeah. It was definitely mostly a male.
Yeah, dominated industry, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and we still kind of are. It's getting better, but we still kind of are. I mean, it's, 70-30, 60-40 are primarily male, but definitely more women are in the industry today. So,
right.
So fast forward a little bit. So you were in MedStar and then you left there. How did that journey continue?
I think I was getting a little burnout. And 2000, I went out to Colorado as a deployment specialist for EMS software. And that was when computer documentation first started. It wasn't a big thing in Michigan. I think we had one client in Michigan at that time. And it was a great opportunity. I learned a lot. But after about a year, I missed the road side of it.
Okay.
I missed the EMS side and came back to Michigan and took a EMS management position, and you were my mentor from day one. You have always been there for me, supporting me and helping me grow as a leader.
Thank you. When you were in that leadership position, was that Marlette at that point? Where were you when you were in
that? That was Marlette. It was a hospital-owned EMS. So it was a department of the hospital. It wasn't a private. It wasn't government. It was like a department of the hospital.
Okay.
So I was the department manager for EMS.
And then what, back into the road EMS after that? I think you were doing dual jobs too.
Right. I thought it was important to stay in touch with working the road. So I picked up a lot of shifts and, you know, I immersed myself in so that I didn't get outdated and that I understood what issues were and things that needed to be tweaked or adjusted. I did that, I think, 8 years.
Okay.
Then I went back. And that's kind of funny. I went back and my new boss was a partner I had back when she was brand spanking new EMT. And back then we didn't have orientation or anything come in. Actually, even when I hired, when I went in for an interview and I spent the rest of the day on the truck. I mean, that was it. And she did not know how to read a map. I asked her for some normal saline, and all she could find was sodium chloride in the drug box. And now she was my boss. And so the moral of that story I learned was, you know, be nice, be patient. You never know when that person could be your boss.
That's funny. I'm going to fast forward here a little bit. When you left EMS, Brooke is an RN. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. We're going to touch on it here again at the end. But when you left EMS, what position were you in at that point? Because you're at the 38-year mark, I'm guessing.
I was back on the road. I was also an instructor coordinator. I was critical care paramedic or SCT. They changed names, specialty care paramedic in St. Clair County.
Right. Okay. Right. And you've experienced everything from being the only full-time paramedic to very difficult situations. You were in a terrible ambulance accident that left you with some PTSD for a while there, probably still, probably not as difficult today as it was at the time. I remember that. So your journey has been very long and very robust. What advice would you give to someone who may be starting out? Because really, you're the perfect example of someone who's had a very long-term career in EMS.
I think EMS attracts a certain type of personality. We get bored easy and we love challenges. If we don't stay challenged, we get ourselves into trouble and we burn out. And I've noticed that with a lot of my coworkers. And so the biggest thing is taking the opportunity to learn new skills. Like you mentioned, going out to Colorado and learning the computer side of things. Well, that opened up doors because I was a part of the state of Michigan development of computer charting and data collection. And that's one of the things that I was able to work with the state and collect the data, which I think catapulted EMS from the perception of not being a profession to being professional, because now we could collect data and use that data. And I think since then, the professionalism, the funding, everything has improved with that. So taking that risk and learning something new and that challenge gave me the opportunity to be instrumental
right.
in growing EMS as a profession.
So you said this is going to stick with me. If we don't stay challenged in EMS as a professional, we get ourselves into trouble. I love that.
Because that's interesting.
Like, now I'm going to really reflect on that. If we don't stay challenged, we get ourselves into trouble. And I think, you know, again, there's always been a lot of debate about emergency calls versus non-emergency. And am I challenged in those non-emergency calls? But I think what you're sharing with our audience is you have moved around in your career. And that is probably why you've stayed in EMS for 38 years, is you've looked for other opportunities. When you got restless, you came back to the road to stay in touch, to feel, you know, reconnected. So that's interesting. Something else you said to me one time is when I said to you, why do paramedics, EMTs stay in EMS organizations that maybe aren't run very well or the culture isn't great? And you said this to me and it stuck. And I repeat this still today. You said, because we have great connections with our partners and the people we work with. So is quote unquote junky that an EMS organization might be with their culture, that we stay because we like the people we work with. And that's why it's hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard to get people, recruit people from other organizations for that reason.
You know, I used to say it's like starting junior high all over again. Because the EMS is so tight-knit, it's hard to feel like you fit in. And because it's our nature to look for what's wrong. You know, we go into a house and we don't say, so what's going good? What feels good today? We go in, what's wrong? What else is wrong? So we, by nature, become very critical. When we bring those new people in, we're very critical of them. And it's very difficult to feel accepted and a part of that family. So you don't want to leave and join junior high all over again. That was horrible.
Brooke, that's, you're saying things that I'm like writing down here because I'm like, that's a great quote. Okay. So for all those out there listening, you can have a 38-year career in EMS. There's going to be younger folks getting into this industry. Happens every day. I see it here at Mobile Medical Response. We see 20-somethings coming in, and sometimes we say, well, they'll never be here more than 5 years. You know, everybody's transitioning, but you never know. So that's an inspiration. All right. So now we're going to talk a little bit about grieving EMS. You are now an RN. You've been an RN for 5 years, correct? 5 years,
yep.
I think. I'm assuming you've worked on the floor. I think you worked in ER for a little bit.
I started out in ICU and ER, and I just changed jobs and relocated. And I'm ICU, and in about 6 months, I'll cross-train to ER as well. But I like the ICU.
Okay. So it's interesting. A lot of my paramedic female connections that have gone on to become an RN are working typically ICU or ER.
Yeah, everybody expected me to go to ER, but I wanted to do something a little bit different. So again, the challenge of learning something new, keeping myself challenged.
So talk to me about grieving EMS. You obviously now have been out of it for 5 years. What's the grieving part? What are you grieving?
I think, well, that relationship with coworkers in general, as a nurse or in an office environment, how much do you really know about your coworker? They got 3 kids because they've got the picture on their desk of their 3 kids. And they went to Cancun last winter because, you know, that's all they could talk about for 3 weeks before. In EMS, we have more intimate conversations. I've always worked 24-hour shifts. So you come in from home, you have issues going on at home, and you have to share. You're 3 feet apart for 24 hours. And you end up sharing really intimate parts of your life with each other. And then we trauma bond. We go through experiences that even other EMS people can't understand fully what you experienced because they weren't there, but your partner was.
Right.
So you really develop these close, you know, family And you also develop them with the fire department, the police department, because you're all sharing this trauma bonding, I guess you would call it.
Ooh, trauma bonding. Love that quote.
Yeah. And it was a part of my identity. I mean, that's what I've always done. That's what I know. I've loved it. The challenges. It was a perfect job. I have ADHD. And going through therapy with that when I was diagnosed as an adult, they told me that the majority of EMS, police, fire, and ER nurses have ADHD. And that's a superpower. That's not a bad thing to have, because we think quick and we're overseeing the scene. We don't get tunnel vision. We wouldn't recognize patterns. So we recognize patterns that a patient is exhibiting symptoms of, and we're quick. So I felt comfortable.
Yeah.
And that was something I felt I did well, and that I missed it. I was going to miss it. I knew I was getting older. I was into my 50s, and I knew that my mind and my body was not going to be able to hold out much longer. At that point, I was the oldest female paramedic in St. Clair County, and I think there were only 3 men older than me.
Okay.
So, you know, intellectually, I knew I needed to do something different, but I resisted it. You know, I procrastinated, I put it off, and then I had the accident. And at that point, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to do this forever. And I never knew when my mind or my body would just stop. And then I would be out of a job, out of a career. So that's when I chose to go back to nursing school. Okay. Don't recommend somebody in their 50s going back to nursing school. It's not as easy as when you were in your 20s. But so badly, even with the PTSD, I had a hard time leaving. I worked full time as a paramedic and as a nurse for quite a while.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought you'd gotten out of EMS, but I didn't know you were doing both jobs at the same time.
Yeah, I did that for probably about 6 months to a year. I don't remember. And yeah, it was really hard, very tearful when I made the decision to transition out of EMS.
So, Brooke, do you still have a license, an active license, or are you completely out?
I'm out.
Okay.
And that was another very, very difficult decision. I say grieving, I went through all the stages of grieving a death. So I went through all 5 stages.
Yeah.
It was grief.
Wow.
And I still miss it.
Right.
So, but I still carry it with me into my new job. When I hear other nurses complaining about EMS, I feel like I have to educate them. And I will jump right in and explain why they're waiting for an ambulance and, you know, misconceptions they have about ambulances.
We need you advocating for EMS. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. Brooke, this has been awesome to hear about your journey and the grieving part. I know you're not alone. There's other people who have left the industry. Some come back because of that grieving pulls them back in. Some stay out. I think age, like you said, we're getting older. I'm older, you're older. So here's the last question for our podcast. Women in Emergency Services is a national association, and I host or lead the Michigan chapter with 4 other fabulous EMS ladies. This did not exist back in the day. I even remember talking to one of my paramedics when I was at Alliance. Her name was Cheryl, and we were talking about, you know, I kept saying, boy, the state really needs to do something. And there's always this resistance about women coming forward and saying, you know, hey, we need something specific for us because we have some specific needs or educational topics that we need to address. So, you know, you're out of EMS, but you're hearing about this probably for close to the first time. What's your reaction to knowing that there's an association specific to women in EMS?
Boy, do I wish we had it back then. I always had to work twice as hard to feel half as respected as a female. I didn't have that support. And then as women started coming into the industry more, it became kind of competitive. Again, that we criticize thing, women were very critical of each other, not supportive. So I think that with this type of support, it will promote bringing more women in. And as long as we continue to have these groups and then active on the job, we're supporting each other. And we have somebody to talk to that understands us. Women have certain traits that men don't. Like, obviously, strength comes natural to men. But we can go to the gym and increase our strength. Right. But women also come with natural intuition, more compassion, and they can connect with patients and family more naturally and easier than men. Men really have to work at that. Yeah. So I love seeing women in EMS. I think we need more women in EMS for those reasons.
Brooke, that's awesome. Good reflection. I think we're just at the very beginning stages of getting this association launched, and I know there's going to be tremendous value. So first of all, I want to thank you for your time. I want to hug you through the Zoom video screen. I haven't seen you in person in so many years now. I know we still keep in touch when we need something. So I'm going to end with this, and you're going to laugh. I was driving the ambulance. You were in the back.
I know where you're going.
I don't think we had a patient. And underneath the awning of the nursing home, and I was stuck, and you were laughing so hard. You were like, I'm going to pee my pants. This is hilarious. And here I am, the executive director of an ambulance service with a brand new EMT license, chopping off the nursing home awning and all the radio antennas. And you are just back there laughing your fanny off. So I'm going to end with that. I thank you for your time. I wish you so much success in your nursing career. And I know we will stay in touch forever. And you're going to have to come to one of our association meetings.
Absolutely. And just anything I can do to help.
Awesome. All right. I want to thank everybody here for listening today. We are Women in Emergency Services. You can find the National Association on a website as well as Facebook and Instagram. And our podcast is being also hosted through the Michigan Association of Ambulance Services. And we are getting ready soon to launch our own Michigan Facebook page for women in EMS. So thanks for tuning in. And please reach out to me, L Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, at mobilemedical.org if you have any questions about the association. Thanks for tuning in.